welcome to the Coco Express Network. Talk radio that informs. Talk radio that inspires. Talk radio that enlightens. Talk radio for us all. Good evening and welcome to the Coco Express Show Network. I'm your host, Aurelia Lyles, and I am so happy to be here with you again. I know it's been a minute since I've been on the airwaves with you all, and I hope that you haven't thought that I left you because I'm not going anywhere. But I've been going places, and that's the great thing about it. I believe the past couple of months, I've had a mind shift, a shake-up a little bit, as you would like to call it. And I decided that I was going to start really looking at the things that I'm passionate about, looking at the things that I like, the things that I enjoy doing, and do them more. And I'm glad I did, because going out, traveling, seeing different things, it opens your mind, it expands your thought, and you just see life from a completely different perspective, which is what we need right now. We need a little levity with all this seriousness going on. Now, and I have to tell you that I am really excited about tonight's show. We have this amazing, amazing artist, and you have probably seen his work and admired his work, much like I have. And I know that I often wonder what goes on in the mind of someone who is so creative, so talented, such a genius. And, you know, all these questions kind of run up in front of me and everything, and I just want to know more. But so tonight we're having the artist, painter, illustrator, fashion illustrator, Alvaro. I hope I'm saying his name correct. And he was born in Brooklyn. Hey, so was I. And he is raised in the Bronx. And he studied at FIT. And there's so much more, because his story, his beginnings is so interesting. And I just would prefer him to tell you his story much more so than I, because I wouldn't do a good job of it. So please allow me the opportunity to bring to you the icon, the genius, the painter, the illustrator, Alvaro. Hello.
Hello.
Hello. Can you hear me?
Hi, is this Aurelia?
Yes, it is. Is this Alvaro?
Thank you. How are you, dear? You would never believe where I am. This is too much like a 1970s. Woody Allen film. I mean, this is a really funny way to start an interview, okay?
Okay.
I'm on my way. Okay, can I talk?
Yes, go ahead. Sure.
First of all, how are you this evening, sweetheart?
I'm fine, and I am excited and so honored to have you.
I am excited to speak to you as well. I'm on my way to a benefit for Save the Children. It's for the kids of Puerto Rico, you know, mm-hmm. because of the hurricane.
Mm-hmm.
And it's being presented by a friend of mine, magazine, Jazz Magazine. And mm-hmm. it's a spotlight fundraiser. And the thing is, I've never taken the ferry across 40th Street, you know, across the river to New Jersey. So then I'm almost there, right? I'm almost there. So then I'm like, I got 10, 15 minutes to get to this restaurant, Waterside Restaurant, which is supposed to be quite beautiful. And I'm all excited. And then I get this Spanish man, and then I start to speak to him, like, can you please take me? He goes, ¿qué? I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. Wait a minute. He just said I was Puerto Rican back about 50 years. You know, just when we're fighting hard and saying, you know, we can speak English, he says to me, ¿qué? So I turned around, and then this man gives me this his card that he's some kind of art agent because I'm wearing this jacket with all this art on it. And he's like talking to me, and I'm being not trying to be rude, but I'm saying, sir, I have to do an interview. And he goes, what? I said, I can't talk. And I run off, and my scarf is following me. It's the funniest, most hysterical Woody Allen kind of thing. Yeah, I swear, if there was a camera, if you had a camera following me, you would have been on the floor. So I said, the heck with the party. And I said, and I swear, I said, and I love children. I said, them kids are going to have to wait.
Thank you.
I said, I will not let Aurelia down. So I'm actually... I'm actually staring through the window at Dunkin' Donuts, a place called Public Garage One, and what else? I don't know. All this stuff in a mall. This is so genius. Hysterical. Oh, my God. I'm going to laugh about this for days. So, well, how are you, dear?
I'm fantastic, and I see that you're really having an adventure right now, huh?
You know what? It's worth it. It's worth it. Because we're laughing and we're making something that could be stressful into something fun. And
yes,
it's all worth it. Because I'll
yes.
get to the children. You know, I'll get to that cause. And I'm with you now. And mm-hmm. we're in a beautiful, magical space. So we're good.
Yes, we are. We are so good. You know, I have to tell you, I'm a Brooklyn native, okay, holla.
I was born in Brooklyn.
Yes, I know. You were raised in the Bronx. And I'm like, you studied at FIT. You've come a long, long, long way. And it's amazing.
Yep.
It's an amazing story. And I know, looking back, because we're going to go back to front and front to back.
Right.
But looking back, what do you see? I mean, what do you see when you sit down and you're alone? What do you see?
What do I see as far as...
As your life. And when you're quietly sitting down reflecting and looking back, what do you see?
Gosh, I see a lot of drama.
Mm-hmm.
I see a lot of pure hysteria because I've always enjoyed laughing. I see a lot of struggle. Of course, we all do. No one is better than anyone. No one is special. Everyone is special, but no one is more special than anyone.
Mm-hmm.
I see a lot of struggle, which is what builds character. So every time I look at certain things and I think of certain things that have happened, you know, I sort of laugh at it. And when people ask me, well, would you do it all over again? I say, yes, except for this, this, and that. But...
Mm-hmm.
If you didn't do it all over again, I don't think that I ever want to be different from who I am right now. This is the only person that I know. It's sort of like when people ask you, if you had a choice to be a star or a model or a this person or that person, who would you want to be? And I never say, oh, I'd like to be so-and-so. I always say, I enjoy being in this kid.
Mm.
And I think that more people should try to appreciate themselves instead of seeing themselves through someone else or as
mm-hmm.
as someone else and make whatever they have of themselves, make it as best as they can. Be the best they can. I don't ever see myself as someone else. And you know, there are millions of imperfections, but imperfections make you the character that you are.
Okay.
It gives you more soul, if that makes any sense.
It makes a lot of sense. It makes.
I love your voice. You have such a pretty voice.
Thank you. Thank you so much. I'm all flattered over here. So, I like to laugh too. So
yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Now, okay. You've done so much, and you've accomplished so much, and you started out watching old movies, and that is how you, I guess, you acquired your taste for the feminine form?
Absolutely.
So
yes, my mother in the early 60s, she and my father came from Puerto Rico. They moved to Brooklyn. They had my brother and I before they had my two sisters. And at a young age, my mom started working at an art factory making art books, you know, like sketch pads, mm-hmm. you know, like binding them together kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
I always say it's almost like if my gift was naturally given to me, because we're all born with a natural something, but it was almost also handed to me. And to top it off, my father was a musician. He was a singer, a guitarist. He was a painter. And on top of all of it, he was a film cutter and a film distributor. So he would actually bring home, this is all when we lived in South Bronx. I mean, how many his families do you know that get to have that kind of thing where their parents, you know, have all of this art stuff to kind of offer their children? So it was sort of an education at an early age, and we would watch films like Greta Garbo, Lena Horne, and I fell in love with all these women. So, and my mom herself being beautiful, and I know we all say our moms were beautiful, but my mom was actually really beautiful. Mm-hmm. You know, like she had that Hollywood thing, and she was also a seamstress. So all of that played the whole package. It all played its own soap opera within my life. And that's sort of how I flourished, and I was inspired. And of course, then I do Genie and cartoons and Betty and Veronica, the Archies, and all of that. So Josie and the Pussycats, and you know, all that silly stuff. But
it's I grew up with that too. We're
you know,
so I know what you're talking about.
You know what I mean, right? And
yes.
the Bradys with Marsha, and
mm-hmm. yes.
and the Partridge Family, and
yes.
and you know, and I loved me before Charlie's Angels. I loved me Get Crispy Love.
Oh my goodness, I love that show.
Remember?
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, yes. Wasn't she the best?
Yes.
Sassy and beautiful. Oh.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
It was so inspiring. Teresa Gray.
Yes.
Yeah, because the three black goddesses were Teresa Graves, Tamara Dawson, and then there was the Pam Grier.
Yes.
Inspirations, right? Because black women have always been, and yes, I'm Hispanic and I love Hispanic women, but growing up in the South Bronx, black women all my life have been my biggest inspiration. They've mm-hmm. been my closest friends. Even till today, you know, women that have helped me, it's always been very powerful, incredible black women, you know, from Iman to Naomi to Audrey Smalls to Beth Ann Hardison to Tookie Smith. It's always been powerful, wonderful black women. And it's always been like that all my childhood. So when I think of these women that I'm talking about on TV and films, you know, it always takes me back to that. Them being sort of my superheroes.
Okay. I can envision all of that because I used to sit in front of the TV set and it was like you had to watch those shows. And
I had
to make sure I had to watch them. I got in trouble because I was supposed to be doing homework, but still.
We all did. Well, wait a minute. At least you did your homework. But wait, listen, Aurelia, because I'm not going to tell you, okay? So
I had a grandma.
I used to get in trouble because my whole notebook was filled with Archie's, Betty and Veronica, and I Dream of Jeannie, and then it turned into Farrah Fawcett, which I became obsessed with. I was always in trouble. You couldn't see 1x1 or 2x2 or 1+1 in anywhere. But I was good at history.
Mm-hmm.
But you know, but don't ask me anything today about math, because you know I'll make believe I dropped the phone. I will. I'll make believe I dropped the phone, and I'll say there's a lot of noise going on, and then I'll move the chairs around here like if someone is like moving their luggage, just to throw you off. Wait, and it's really happening. Look, someone is moving the garbage can. So you heard that noise, right? This is just so funny. This is like being in a Woody Allen film. something like turning, like turnstiles. We should call it turnstiles or something. Oh, gosh, this is so much fun.
Now, what high school did you go to?
I am pleased to say that I was very lucky to have been guided by my first art teacher. Her name was Nancy Cooperman. We called her Purple Lady. And she was my main hero, because growing up in the South Bronx, it was rough. You had to always fight your way through things and to survive and become tough. And being gay goes again with the garbage. I love it. And no, but it's so genius. It adds to the whole thing, you know? You get sound effects. If you hear disco music, you're gonna holler and come Donna Summer. But, you know, she guided me and others. I wasn't the only one. And she prepared me to go to Art and Design High School, and this is what got me out of the rough area I grew up in. Mm-hmm. So in Manhattan, Art and Design High School, and the thing about that school was that there was such a combination. Where I grew up, it was just us blacks and Hispanics, or us Hispanics and blacks, you know, mixed. Mm-hmm. But when I went to Art and Design, you saw a rainbow of everyone for the first time as a kid, and everyone was an artist. So it was sort of like going to the School of Performing Arts. Mm-hmm. And everyone was talented, and it was just magical. 4 years of that, but I always thank her, Mrs. Cooperman. I love you if you're listening. I owe her my life. I owe her, besides my mother and God, which are the two main reasons, of course, I owe this woman everything, because I don't know where I would have been today. I know that I always had that dream and the passion and the talent, but she helped me find it. And from there, all my dreams came true. I won all these awards, you know, before graduation, and I swear to you, no math homework for you. No, but you know, the guidance counselor liked me. I promised her that I was going to do well. Now watch her get fired. Imagine that she gets fired and suddenly it's on the news. I'm going to tell her that you made me say it. She gets fired.
She wanted me to be honest.
Imagine she gets fired. Oh, my God. Can I say that I was only making that up? Look, I was lying, all right? like I said, then I had a dream since I was very young that I wanted to work with this famous fashion illustrator. His name, he was Puerto Rican as well, in 1987. His name was Antonio Lopez. And for a very long time, since I was a kid, I would see him in fashion magazines, and I would always say, I'm going to work with this man. I didn't say I want to. I always said that I have to move away a little bit because someone's talking. I always said that I am going to work with him, and people would tell me, teachers and all, it's good to set your goals high, but everyone wants to work with him. And I said, I know that everyone wants to work with him, but I'm going to. And I set my goals. I knew what year he was going to go and do a seminar at FIT. And once I graduated that year, I managed to get into FIT by telling the teachers to please just look at my portfolio and accept me, because I couldn't take the test. Because for some reason or another that occurred, and they took me in, and I also told them, I said, because I really don't want to come here to learn. I just want to come here because I want to meet Antonio. They all looked at me up and down like, what? Like, who do you think you are? And I rolled my eyes, right?
Mm-hmm.
No, I did. I sucked my teeth and rolled my eyes. I said, look. No, I did. I swear. You know, they were like, this South Bronx kid, because I had that whole attitude.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, I really knew I had to be slightly aggressive, because I knew that this is my dream. And lo and behold, He came to FIT to do the seminar. I sat in the front, and some of my models at the time had already been published in the New York Times and a couple of other magazines. I wasn't that good yet, but I had something, and I needed it to be nourished. And I knew that working with him, because I never really wanted to be a fashion illustrator. I wanted to draw beautiful women. I wanted to do pop art. I wanted to, you know, go further than that and explore things that I can mix together, including with fashion, because I do have fashion in me. But my passion was always my admiration for all women of all colors, of all sizes, just women in general, because there's nothing on this planet more beautiful than women. I always say that the reason why God is the greatest artist is because he created women. And I just had this obsession, you know, and Antonio walked on stage, he noticed me, and I started asking a lot of questions. Next thing you know, he asked me and four other students posed with him for the school paper. And I kept yakking and talking like I'm talking now, and, you know, and laughing. And he kept hitting me on the back of my head saying, "You talk too much, shut up." And then, you know, because I looked a certain way then, I was kind of like, you know, kind of attractive at that age. He said, "I want you to model for me." And, you know, deep down inside, I was dying. My sister was with me, and he gave me his number on my in my Antonio book. The way I just jumped on my sister and started crying and screaming, but I was embarrassed because he and his assistant saw me as they were walking out in the back of the amphitheater. So I was really embarrassed. But I still called him that Monday, and he said, "Come on over." And I did, and from there on, I started not only posing for him, but I ended up answering phones, assisting the people that would come in to wait for him, the models, helping the models get dressed. It turned into exactly what I dreamt of as a kid.
Oh, okay. So dreams do come true.
Yeah, for any of us, all you got to do is I know it's hard, it's easier said than done, but I always tell people, why don't you just start out, even, you know, because it's never too late to be who you want to be. So you can't really tell a child this, but when you advise a young kid something, I always tell them from the beginning, start making believe that it's real now. Play the role, play the part. And as you do it more and more and more and you start to believe it, the next thing you do is when you turn around, it's there, and you're already used to it. So in your head, it actually was already there. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does make a great deal of sense.
It's not about arrogance. It's almost like playing doll, you know, like dollhouse or doctor, not doctor, but dollhouse. Or you know how little kids play with like different things?
Yes.
Surgeons or policemen, especially like detectives, and then suddenly they become one, you know. You just got to believe your dream and practice it at a very young age. And it actually works sometimes. I mean, a lot of great singers started that way. By the time it starts to happen, it's there. So for me, it happened. It just blended right in. So by the time I was there my second week, it was as if I've already been there all my life. But it was magic.
I understand. Now, the thing I was curious about is, you were in New York City during the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and that's when New York was a wellspring of creativity. How did that affect your work?
Okay, because of the noise, can you explain that one more time? I'm sorry.
That's okay. I said you were in New York City in the 70s, 80s, and 90s, and that's when New York was a wellspring of creativity. How did that inspire and affect your work?
Oh, my goodness. First of all, you know, it all starts with movies. It all starts with music. Billie Holiday was my biggest musical inspiration.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a sad thing that I've always liked. The drama always pulled out passion in me. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, you know, we had break dancers on the street, and we had the most magical part for me was watching people do graffiti on trains. Like today, when you look at the trains, you think of them as art, but back in those days, people thought of it as dirt and trash.
Yeah.
And we didn't take advantage of the fact there was so much of it that it looked dirty to people. To me, it was just being alive, going to a museum every single day. And everyone had a different style. So the truth is, the streets and the subways is what gave me inspiration more than anything. And then along came my getting to know about Andy Warhol. And that was another dream to get to meet him, which I did. And
wow.
Then Keith Haring, which I became friends with. Have you ever heard of Keith Haring?
No, I haven't. But I'm going to look
Keith Haring
up.
Is the one, you know Keith Haring. He's the one that did that Free South Africa. He did those baby dolls that looked like little dancing around with the little lines around them. That's Keith Haring. He died in 1990. Yeah, and he did that beautiful Free South Africa, a poster, the apartheid thing and all. And I got to know him. So from seeing the graffiti art, I always kept in my head, these are people that I am going to meet. These are people that are going to help me go to where I feel that I belong, because I didn't feel like I belonged fighting with these other kids that were always angry. But I thank them, because of them they helped me to be tough in the industry I'm in today, so that no one gets over on me. So I use that energy for a good thing and not a bad thing.
That's excellent. Can I ask you one question?
Yes.
I notice in your art that there's no sharp edges or points. It's a lot of curves and is that because of your love of the female form that you have all these curves and
no
sharp
those
points?
Those curves come from my being inspired by animals.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. You know how animals move, like the beautiful leopard?
Yes.
And how agile they are when they run, and how they suddenly turn, even fish, and they suddenly turn. I've had fish tanks all my life, and their tails, and all those movements. Animals to me are like dancers. And I've had animals all my life. I'm actually an animal. I'm an advocate for animals. I am involved with a Cheetah Foundation, and I do as much as I can to help raise money for them. And I watch animals. Remember back in the day, we would have a show called Mutual of Omaha.
Yes. Yes.
I was so obsessed with it, and so it wasn't really because I also danced and. But all of that was actually inspired by the movement of animals. I've always had a cat. I've always had fish. I've had hamsters. And I would watch the way they would move. Those lines that they would create when they, you know, when they bend, when they go into that fetal position, and then they just stretch out. They stretch out like these Varga girls from the 1940s, these pinups. There's the cat doing it. It's quite fascinating. And that long last one tail, that tail that just whips right out. So animals really had a lot to do with the inspiration of line for me. And of course, the painter Picasso.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. And
I take something from everything. I'm like a sponge. I take something from everything.
Oh, you're a genius then. Not everyone can do that.
One day I will be, I hope.
You're already there.
Thank you, doll. Thank you so much. I appreciate that.
You're welcome. Now, what do you do when you're not working? What do you do to relax yourself, to unwind?
I watch Law and Order.
Okay.
I will watch a Marilyn Monroe film or Charlie's Angels. I'm obsessed with Farrah Fawcett. to the point where she was another dream and I became friends with her. I watched Law and Order, like, you know when they have Law and Order on all night?
Mm-hmm.
And when they don't have it, I'm so upset. I get moody.
And so many.
Yeah, but sometimes they don't have it on, and then my cat jumps on the bed and I say, get out of here. Get out of here. Just get off my bed. And then she rolls her eyes at me, and then with that same tail that I used to love, she slaps me in the face with it. Because she's a little shady Puerto Rican cat, I swear. You don't know. No, my cat is real Puerto Rican, I swear. But I'd like to go back to, the thing is with me, is if I'm not working, I actually practice every day.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I've actually taught myself how to draw with my right foot. So in case anything ever happens in the future, I tie a magic marker with tape around my right foot.
Mm-hmm.
And I've learned to draw not with the left one, with the right one, to draw faces and things like that. But because I'm getting older now, suddenly I start getting Charlie horses. And you know what? Bengay don't help no more. Then you see me limping across the room and then there's marker all over the floor. And, you know, the marker won't come off. So I'm limping, like, dragging the magic marker on the floor, and the cat is looking at me and my dog is looking at me like, what's wrong with him? And they look at each other up and down, like, and I'm, like, limping. And you know when the muscle gets really tight and then you start, like, bending over and you start making all these shapes and faces. And they're like, something's wrong with Daddy, and they think like I'm the exorcist or something. It's some sick. Because once you hit a certain age, you know, before you thought you can do all of this, now I try to put I can't even bend over enough to put the tape around my foot without getting a pull. I swear I'm not lying. Oh, God. I'm
no,
sorry, but you're the one, listen, you're the one that called me, so you started it, okay? You started it.
Okay.
Remember those days growing up in the Brooklyn or Bronx? You know, after something went down, you go, well, she started it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's what I'm saying to you. I say, well, you started it. Okay, you can't take me anywhere.
I would love to hang out with you because I know it'll be hysteria all the way.
It would be pure hysteria because I'm not into that. Whatever people think of me as an artist, I know what I do and I appreciate it and I'm pleased with it. And I've lived quite an amazing life. I thank God. I thank my mother. I thank my father, and I thank Mrs. Cooperman, my art teacher. And I thank all these great women, but all of that fancy stuff and all the women that I've met in my life and the covers or the magazines I've been in, the television, this and that, and all of that stuff, I'm still going to hit the floor laughing really hard, act exactly like I was when I was 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 or 7, and everything just goes away because there's nothing more beautiful than being that childlike person. That's what keeps everything fresh all over again.
Yes.
You know, all of the there are people out there that get caught up in themselves and, you know, and they believe too much of it.
Mm-hmm.
I can't do that, you know. One of the most important things for me, I'm rambling, right? Because I always actually am rambling, right?
No, you are. What you're doing, it's so good to hear. We're getting to know you, and that's important to understand the wisdom and the person behind all of that amazing work. We don't get this opportunity often, so no, you're not rambling. Thank you.
The real person behind it, because the art you can see, but you know, but to me, nothing, and I've said this before, and I tell people all this time, and I end up crying a little if I try not to. Nothing is a more beautiful gift first of all, like I say, then like what I'm doing now, I'm on my way to the charity.
Mm-hmm.
There is nothing more beautiful than I do every other night, where I go, I walk my dog Garbo, and I wish that people, I keep trying to put the message out. I walk with my little dog Garbo. I named her after the actress Greta Garbo.
Mm-hmm.
And we take about half an hour walk, go all the way to Lincoln Center, or we'll walk in some new direction, and I go hunting, not looking for, but actually hunting for people sleeping on the streets.
Mm.
And I make sandwiches, or if I'll go in an area where I know that there's a pizza place or a bodega or something, and I go in between cracks of the streets, and I look down the little stairs and brownstones, and because I know you'll find them, especially this is the season for me, it's more now because it's cold. And sweetheart, I swear to you, Matt, I always, from far away, always ask them, excuse me, sir, excuse me, miss. Especially if it's a woman that's on the street, it breaks my heart. And I wake them up and I say, I'm sorry to bother you, but is there anything you need? Can I buy you some food? Some of them are sneaky and they go like, oh, you got any money instead? I said, I tell you what, if you eat a sandwich in front of me, I'll give you a couple of dollars.
Mm.
And if I have the sandwich, or I'll go across the street or two blocks over, I can stay right here. Well, they're not going anywhere. And I come back with a breakfast, with a coffee, because it's sometimes 3 or 4 in the morning, because I paint until 5, and I walk Garbo around that time. And I always find at least 3 people. I give them something, I bought them, I speak to them. They need to talk to someone. And you should see how they, when you walk away, how they look up at this guy, like they're thanking God for that moment. There's nothing more beautiful than that feeling. And if we can all do one person, if we can all do just one, even if it's once a week, just one, we're helping. I will never, ever, 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 till the last day I breathe, stop helping someone. You know why? Especially when it's an artist also, a young artist that's trying to find their way. I just help someone, and I'm going to hook them up to have an exhibit. This is someone under 30 years old with a big, big, big gift, but doesn't know what to do. I'm going to help this person. You know why? Because I always remember that someone helped me. And we can't go around being selfish. We have to. I don't like that word, giving back to the community, because giving what back? I didn't take anything from you. You know, I mean it in the way that I know how it feels in your soul, in your heart, when someone helps you, when you really need something, that feeling where your chest opens up and you're like, dear God, this is real, this is real. I want people to feel the same way. Because there are too many selfish people out here that won't do that. And I will always be that way. I'd rather be that, and I always say I'll die without my art, but I'd rather be a giver and push someone, give them something, than to have so much or whatever to myself. I don't like the empty feeling. Sorry if I cried a little bit. Are you still there?
Oh, I'm
Hello?
Still here, and thank God
oh, okay.
for you. Yes, I'm here. Thank God for you. Because, you know, it takes people like you to give us hope. And that's what fuels a lot of people and motivates them to keep going. And you're giving them that. You're giving them just that hope.
Hope. And to see and the great thing is to see them start to succeed. Next thing you know, you're in a room full of a lot of people at an event, at a party, and they're all the way in the corner, and you're all the way in one corner, and you don't have to say anything, you don't have to thank you. They already know, and you already know. And you know what the beautiful thing is? They give you this look, and they nod their heads down, and they look back up at you, and you do the same thing with respect, saying, I told you so.
Mm. Yes. Oh, before I forget, how was your exhibit? How did that go, your solo exhibit?
Oh, my goodness. The response was amazing. The paintings are selling, and I didn't get to enjoy the party as much because everybody just jumped on me. I felt like a pizza was delivered. No, I did. An extra cheese pizza and like half anchovies or half something, and they just opened it up and everyone jumped on me like they wanted to fight me. I swear. I was going to start swinging because I didn't get it. I was ready to start swinging. Somebody grabbed me from one side, the other one from the other, and they were tugging and pulling and asking for autographs and to sign this poster. And then one almost ripped my jacket, and I just pulled my string off like this, and I was ready to swing. I'm only kidding. But they really jumped me. You know, when I see my friend, like, you know, Miss J from America's Next Top Model, right?
Yes, yes.
Or Mr. J, these are my dear friends, or Naomi, or any of these people that I've known that have done big parties, and everyone jumps all over them. But that moment when I walked in and everyone just ran towards me, I wanted to look in the mirror and go, oh, but oh, I'm not that person. It's me. No, that person is over there. But it was a beautiful feeling. It was one of those moments where it all came in full circle.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the appreciation for many things that I've done and the way the look in people's eyes, appreciation, and how people kept thanking me for it. People always say a word, you know, you're so real. I hope so, first of all. I know I'm not walking around and I'm dreaming somebody suddenly pops my bubble and I'm like, I wake up like, you know, falling off the bed. And when they say you're so, you know, you're so real, I'm like, I hope so. Because I would hate it to be one of those dreams, I swear. It would be so funny, like in 2 minutes, I'm talking, and you already had my phone, like, tracked. And then there's an ambulance outside with some people walking out with a straitjacket and a gurney. And then you hear my boots running. You just hear me running, and then my keys fall, so I turn back for the keys. You send people to come in with a gurney. And then suddenly the scene goes from that scene to Diana Ross in Lady Sings the Blues when she's inside that white room. Right, and I'm all tied up. I'm going, and then the back on here, Lady Sings the Blues. Too right? Oh, Lord.
Oh my goodness! Oh, you. I still see the image.
Wait, you started it.
Okay.
I bet my dear Angelo Ellerby of Double Exposure, which hooked this up, is hearing this probably and cracking up and going, "Oh God, what am I gonna do with him?" He's probably like saying, talk about your cover of Vibe, or talk about this. I'm like, no. No. I don't want to talk about that.
But, it's fun. I have to tell you, it's a lot of fun.
It's fun. It's real. It's yes. It's getting inside the artist.
Yes. And,
I was telling... Mm-hmm.
And understanding you and where all this color comes from. It's inside you.
It's a burst of, like, rainbows and all that stuff.
Skittles.
And it really is. Skittles, right? Like that girl in the commercial when she tells the boy, is this contagious? And he says, no, she got them all over her face. I swear, if I end up at this party with Skittles on my face... You know when people stare at you and you think you look cute, but something is on your face and nobody tells you?
Yes.
That'll be one of those moments. Oh, Lord.
So, what are you up to next? And you know, how can people follow you, follow your art?
Well, they can follow me. I'm going to start making my, well, I have some important clients that I will be creating some real painting for. I rather do real painting than pop art than do fashion illustration. I enjoy doing fashion illustration, but I don't consider myself the best at it, only because I didn't want it. If I wanted to be one of the best at it, I would have probably achieved that. Mm-hmm. I took from it like drawing beauty that I do well, but I've turned my women more into like pin-up girls. Which is why at one point I was chosen in the 40s in 1994 to redo the Varga Girl, which was one of my idols, for Esquire magazine by body painting the models. I just look forward to continuing painting. There will be more exhibitions. I will be doing more. I'm going to have some merchandise coming out. I've already started little by little by teasing people. And people keep asking me to do a book. I will, but I don't ever like to race to get there. I want it to just happen. I don't want to stress myself. I just want to enjoy life. And whatever comes my way, I take it. I embrace it, and I do it. But, you know, I promise you that I sleep with, you know, a marker next to me. No, I really
do. I hope
you're
not using it with your foot, okay?
Not between my feet, no, and not between my toes, because then I'll get, like, the toe cramp.
Yes.
And I walk around like a hawk. No. Or a sphinx. No, I don't think so. I'm a Leo. You are so bad. Starting trouble with me. You're just starting trouble. Oh, Lord. So, yeah, but I just expect to keep moving forward. I never really want to say this is exactly what I want to do. I just embrace whatever comes forward. I'm lucky to be one of those artists that are always working. So I just embrace what presents itself. I get visions, so sometimes I have a feeling of what's going to happen. But, and then I sort of like throw a little bait. And then it's like a seed in the ground and watch it grow. So whatever comes next, I'm ready to embrace and take on. But definitely merchandise. And if I ever get out on some reality TV, it'll probably end up being some comedy craziness.
Oh my goodness! And people would watch it with bated breath. They couldn't. They wouldn't wait for the next.
It'll be
they wouldn't
mix
be able
of,
to wait for the next episode.
Mm-hmm. It'll be a mix of like a 15-minute Bad Girl Club. I swear, because if somebody says something to me, I'll be like, "What'd you say?" I said, what did you say to me? Or what did he say to me? I know you ain't talking about it. I swear, I'm not lying. But anyway, this was wonderful, Avina. I really thank you so much.
Thank you. And I know you have to get to your event. And I don't want to hold you any longer, but I had such an amazing time with you.
I as well, sweetheart. Thank you. I really, and I love your name.
Thank you. Can you come back again?
Please. Can you let me know when? Please plan it.
I will definitely. I'll let Angelo
please.
Know. And
you just let Angelo know. Actually, in fact, I am going to remind him when something fun is up that I'm working on. I will let him know. And we will, you know, I'll write the script. I'll write the script, I swear. And then we have to have like an ambient, so we have to have like some like sirens in the background and some like, you know, like running.
Okay.
And then I'm talking like I'm running down the street and the whole conversation will be like while I'm running.
Okay.
You know?
Yes. Thank you so much. I mean,
bless you, sweetheart.
Yes. Thank you and bless you. And be careful walking at night. You know.
Oh yeah, no, I'm gonna jump in. I'm gonna jump in one of these cabs over here and then I'll be back home later. So is this airing tonight? This is live?
This is live, and I just got to edit because I think your phone number may be on there, so I'm going to get it off real quick.
Okay, so please let me know when, and I'd love to hear it, and so I can laugh with you.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay.
Bless
you so much.
Thank you. Thank you.
Okay, darling.
Okay, bye.
Sending you a big hug, okay?
I'm receiving it. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye, sweetheart.
Bye. Okay, everyone, that was the amazing artist, Alvaro. And I have to tell you, when you get the opportunity to sit and talk with people who have established a career for themselves that spans, I guess, some of our wildest imaginations, you begin to wonder if they're really a real person. And this particular interview shows a few things: that believe in yourself, believe in your dreams, because they do come true. And also that people who have achieved certain status, they are still people and they do care. So don't get that in your head. Understand that this life that we live is about helping others and loving yourself. And he is a prime example of just that. And we are grateful to have him on the show to share his time and to share his wisdom. So believe in yourself, follow your dreams, don't follow anybody else's, because that is not for you. As always, take care of yourself, be well, God bless, and we'll be back again on Saturday.
Thanks for tuning in. For more content, visit us at thecocoexpressshow.com